fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're just going to read two verses today in this chapter, and we're going to seek to expound a portion of this scripture around these two verses. You recall how that chapter 3 gives us a delineation of the excellence of wisdom. This is continued in chapter 4. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, we considered wisdom's wholehearted devotion as the way to peace and to success and guidance and health and prosperity. In chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, we considered wisdom's salutary chastening as the means to holiness, devotion, submission, and assurance. And then in verses 13 to 20, wisdom's enviable heritage, for wisdom is incomparable, satisfying, and beneficial. And then in verses 21 to 35, wisdom's blessed assurance, realized in personal experience, revealed in practical evidence, and related by pungent examples. Now, today I want us to consider together wisdom's perfect way. Wisdom's perfect way. And if you'll look at verses 10 and 11, we read, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." My, what a statement that a father can give. What a claim he can make as he's instructed his son. And here he simply says that he's instructed him in wisdom's perfect way. Now, there are several reasons why wisdom's way is perfect. And we're going to look at those in just a minute. But let me call your attention again to the fact that wisdom simply is the ability to apply knowledge in a practical, sensible way to the affairs of life. And so he says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom." In the first verse of chapter 4, the writer says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, and keep my commandments, and live." And so the author of Proverbs is simply handing down to his own son that which his father had given him by the way of instruction. And so he says to his son, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom." In a way by which you may apply knowledge in a practical, sensible way to the affairs of your life. Now, in this passage, there are three reasons why wisdom's way is perfect. In the first place, it is the way of preservation, verses 5 and 6. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." All right, wisdom is a way of preservation. For wisdom, when kept by the person who has it, who forsakes her not, finds that she preserves him and keeps him in the path of life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, the Apostle Peter says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And so, those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who get wisdom that comes from God, finds that wisdom's way is perfect because it's the way of preservation, the way by which we're kept from stumbling, from falling, from the snares of life, and preserved unto the day when we shall see our blessed Savior and enter into our inheritance in glory. So wisdom's perfect way is a way of preservation. In the second place, wisdom's way is perfect because it is the way of promotion, verses 7, 8, and 9. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So there are three things with regards to the matter of the way of promotion. First of all, wisdom will promote one in honor. Verse 8, when we exalt wisdom, then she promotes us into a place of honor, into a rank of honor, when we embrace her and hold her. Now, so wisdom is the principal thing, and wisdom's way is perfect because it is the way of promotion in honor. But not only that, it's the way of promotion because it provides an ornament of grace. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. Surely, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ desires to have about him the graces that God provides by which the gospel is adorned. Now, every day that we live, we either wear an ornament of grace or we bring a reproach unto the Lord Jesus Christ who purchased our redemption. And it's our business as Christians to be sure that we ourselves are adorned by the grace of God. The way to do so is to exalt wisdom, to embrace wisdom, to get wisdom, to be sure that we do appropriate the wisdom of God that comes from above. So, wisdom's way is perfect because it's the way of promotion, for it gives an ornament of grace. But again, it crowns us with a diadem of glory. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Or as the margin says, she shall compass thee with a diadem of glory. And we walk in a world that is antagonistic against God. This is the day of Christ's rejection. It's the day in which we fellowship in his sufferings. But the Word of God tells us that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And this is a time when the afflictions that come upon us, God's Word says, are light and momentary, but they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so if we suffer for Christ's sake, then the Spirit of grace and of glory is upon us. So as we walk through this pathway of life, then we get wisdom. And as we get wisdom and exalt her and embrace her and hold to her, we discover that she will encompass us with a diadem of glory. So wisdom's way is perfect. It's the way of preservation. It's the way of promotion. But in the third place, wisdom's perfect way is seen in the fact that it is the way of purity, verses 11 to 19. There is positive purity, there is negative purity, and there is prospective purity. Let's look at positive purity in verses 11, 12, and 13. The writer says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. All right? When we are instructed in the pathway of wisdom, we discover that it is a right path. In the Great Shepherd Psalm, we read, He leadeth us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That is, He leads us in paths of right doing. And so, wisdom's way is perfect because it's a way of positive purity. We walk in a right path and do not stumble as we walk in that way. And then verses 14 to 17 reveal unto us a negative purity. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. All right, wisdom's perfect way is a way of purity, a way of negative purity. As we lay hold on wisdom, as we embrace her, as we exalt her, she leads us away from the pathway of the wicked. She will not allow us to walk in the way of evil men. And the Word of God in Psalm 1 tells us that this is the blessed man. For the blessed man is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So, wisdom's perfect way is a way of purity, a way of negative purity, leading us away from the pathway of the wicked. And finally, it's a way of prospective purity, verses 18 and 19. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. So there's the prospective purity. As we look toward that perfect day, towards which all of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ are moving, we know that the pathway of wisdom shines brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. So, since wisdom's way is perfect, a way of preservation, a way of promotion, a way of purity, then get wisdom. And according to verse 5, forget it not. According to verse 6, forsake her not. And verse 13, take hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life, forfeit her not. In all thy getting, get wisdom and get understanding. Do not forsake her, and do not forget her, and do not forfeit her for anything. May God help you and me day by day to lay hold on the wisdom that is from above and to discover in our lives that its way is perfect.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.